Yo, what up, y'all? It's your boy, Wavy McGuire, a.k.a. the Ignorant Know-It-All, a.k.a. the Egyptian Magician. I have an aggressive beard, and I'm chilling with my man.
It's the Brooklyn Basquiat, a.k.a. the B.R. Oakland Man.
Yo,
how's everybody doing?
Yo, what's going on? It's Saturday, 12 o'clock. Yo, we are here every Saturdays from 12 to 1, 92.6 The Spot. Shout out to Ben all the time. Ben, we need a check, man. We need a check. I think you need to call the crime boss family and tell them to cut us a check, man. We need some money, son.
The crime boss is over at WKBP. Send us a check. We deserve it.
We need a check. Yo, I just want to talk about, yo, it's wild outside.
Oh, yeah.
It's wild in these streets. And I'm not just talking about, like, your regular hood or wherever you're from. I'm talking about everywhere, son. Even downtown in the courthouses, son. Like, a dude just set himself on fire yesterday at 1 p.m. And I don't even know why 1 p.m. was such a significant number. Like, he could have just set himself on fire at any given time. It was a straight white man, straight Trump supporter. How do you feel about that? What are your thoughts about this man just setting himself completely on fire during Trump's trial?
Yeah. I don't know if he was a Trump supporter, but, you know, his name is Max Azzarello.
Max Azzarello.
And supposedly he left a final manifesto on Instagram.
why do they call it manifestos? Like, that should just sound so like...
As soon as I hear manifesto, I read, you know, MKA Ultra, MKA Ultra, Hypnotist. And,
wow.
You know, I want to know what happened to the psychiatrist, what did the psychiatrist say to him, you know, things of that nature.
What were the words that triggered him
that triggered him, and why did he do it there? You know, because when he lit himself on fire, you know, you have to keep in mind that this was happening live as the reporters were outside talking about the Trump
trial. And you know what's so crazy? At one point, I guess when his body was snap, crackling, popping because of the fire, you know how when wood is in a fireplace and it just gets that snap and that crackle and that pop? Yo, for some reason, those pops and those snaps and those crackles were so loud that this reporter thought there was an active shooter. Like, that's how loud
crazy.
That fire was toasting his body up.
You know, what's even more stunning is that he was just, like, just on his knees, just sitting there.
Yo, how do you sit?
While he was on fire. Mm. It's crazy. You know, it was just crazy.
It just smelled like just nasty white burnt meat. You know what I'm saying? Like, this nigga didn't even take the time out to, like, season himself up. You know what I'm saying? Like black people, I mean, if black folks decided to set themselves up on fire, I know these dudes are going to douse themselves with all types of seasoned salts. You know what I mean? Like the Goya, the saffron. You know what I'm saying? Like the lemon, especially the lemon pepper. Like niggas going to douse themselves with lemon pepper, set themselves on fire so it can smell like a dope ass barbecue. But this nigga just completely smelled like just random white meat.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like he just
I don't know if he passed away yet. I think like he's in critical.
Like he laced himself with mayonnaise and just said, you know what? I'm just going. It smelled like a white barbecue out there. Like that. Jesus Christ, it's a fire.
we're definitely an interesting time.
Oh my goodness.
You know, it's just crazy to see somebody do that live on air.
And not yet, but the thing is like you see these videos. There's a whole bunch of clips out there. Like, everybody, please watch these videos with caution because it is demonic and it is demon time. And we don't want nobody to get hypnotized by that and, you know, you start bugging out. But real talk, like, it's just be cautious when you watch these videos. You know what I'm saying? Be cautious when you watch these videos. I try not to watch them, but they keep popping up on these timelines. They keep popping up on these feeds. So I'm just trying my best. I mean, I heard it. I was at work when everything happened. You know, I work close to the courthouses, so I really didn't know what was going on. You know, I'm sitting at work like a sucker, you know, working on a report. So sitting working on a report and writing jokes, you know what I'm saying? And this happens, you know what I mean? So anyway, you know, I really truly hope that people out there that was watching this are safe and, you know, this is traumatic and this is traumatizing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was shocking. It was definitely shocking.
Yeah.
Especially to see it live like that.
That's crazy.
It's crazy.
That's crazy.
You know, I don't know if you've been watching the news, but moving on to other crazy stuff that's going on. I don't know, Dubai is currently underwater right now.
How many hoes out there that's selling their body in Dubai has drowned?
Right. So all the ladies of the evening.
Because I know these chicks are out there.
Whatever freaky stuff is going on, they're going to have to stop it now, and they better think about getting on Noah's Ark or building another ark. Because it's crazy out there, right? I think Noah's Ark is in Turkey right now.
Yo, they showed a picture of a whole bunch of cars flooded. That shit looked like the motherfucking Hudson River or
it's crazy.
What was that? The Hudson River or the Bronx Expressway?
Yeah.
Remember when we had that flood back in the summertime? Yeah. No, last October, last September?
Yeah.
That's what Dubai is looking like right now. Dubai is out there fucking manipulating weather. They fucking doing all types of crazy shit.
I don't know if you want to get into conspiracy theories, but it's interesting.
But that's what it's for. You're the conspiracy theorist, and I'm the comedian, so I'm just going to make fun.
There was this gentleman that a couple of days before this happened in Dubai, you noticed an anomaly.
That's
radar.
A great word.
Yeah, it's an anomaly. In next to Antarctica, and the anomaly on the radar, spread up towards Africa, and then created all these storms. And he's been tracking it. 2 or 3 days before it happened, he's just been tracking the anomaly. Of course, they said, it was just a glitch in the computer. But then days later, you have all of these interesting storms that pop up.
Right.
You know, in Africa, you know, I think there was a volcanic eruption in Indonesia. Mm-hmm. And then you have Dubai, who suddenly, from tremendous
rainfall,
correct,
and wind and thunder. And
they're telling, they're telling tourists not to go there. And, this is a dry place.
You think it's really going to stop them hoes from not going to make that money?
Well, they can't get the money because nobody's
first of all, you chicks out there that's going out there hoeing your body, you guys need to learn, get swimming lessons, like do a couple lessons before you go out there. Because them niggas is not knee deep in water. These niggas is really neck deep in water. And if you can't swim, you're drowning.
And let's keep it 100.
How Snoop said it, you're bound to drizzle.
Right, It's ladies and guys going out there
I wasn't even trying to bring these niggas up.
Because, everybody try, the women out there. No. We're equal opportunity here.
Wow.
There's some guys out there, too, making that money. Well, not this week.
Them niggas is like, nah, son, I looked at the forecast on my phone. Mm-hmm. Siri told me, you asked Siri, what's today's weather? They said it's golden showers in Dubai. And bitches is drowning. Right. Drowning. Yo, that's crazy. But in other news, too, your man Diddy. I saw a clip of Eddie Griffin. Eddie Griffin is out there preaching the gospel, so to speak, if you want to say, how he's talking about how Clive Davis and many other...
And UMG.
High-powered... people that are in UMG, which is Universal Music Group, has connections within the what's those folks?
Right, the
Homeland Security,
government organizations.
Right, and they actually sent Homeland Security to his crib to look for evidence of tapes that Diddy may have tapes that are hidden. And ready to expose a lot of dudes, or just use it as leverage, for blackmail,
or whatever it is.
This is his theory.
So apparently he has videotapes of sexual encounters with
allegedly has
with
these
Clive
videotapes
Davis and with Lucian Grange and all these powerful people in the industry. So of course they sent Homeland Security
to go run deep in
there.
The word
on the street is that some of the detectives or the agents did not know who they were raiding.
They just ran up in the crib and was like, they just got the word.
Address, they got the address and they raided it. And the reason why they did it that way is because obviously Diddy has moles.
Of course.
Within the police department, Homeland Security, things of that nature. So that's why they had to do that, which makes it all very interesting.
So where's your man Diddy? Where is he, son?
So what do you think about Eddie Griffin? What do you think about those comments he made? Do you take him seriously? Is Eddie like onto something? Like, what do you think about all that?
Well, first I want to know which Eddie is it. Is it the Eddie that's just drinking like 13 bottles of champagne before he starts talking?
Oh, wow.
Because I mean, your boy loves to drink, and I'm not being, you know, disrespectful, but your boy loves to drink. So I just want to know,
okay,
which Eddie Griffin are we getting? Is this the sober minded Eddie Griffin that's
he looks sober minded to me.
This is what it is, because, you know, his last comedy special, your man was talking about the sun, moon, stars, and quasars, and how the pyramids were built. You know what I'm saying? So that's the Eddie Griffin that I fucking fuck with. You know what I mean? That's actually giving you the raw and the mathematical angles and geographic measures about how the Masons is building shit and putting shit together.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the shit that I'm looking at. But if it's you know, not the sober, and this is the drunken Eddie Griffin, then it's kind of like, but you said he's sober-minded, then it is what it is, and he's making this happen, and we're trying to figure out what's going on. And I think, you know, if he's shedding light, I think it might be, you know, he might have some valid points as to what's going on, you know what I'm saying, and what's happening with Diddy, and, you know, why Homeland Security was sent to his crib, and, you know, why Justin and everybody else was locked up and pulled out in handcuffs and had guns to their head. They're looking for these tapes. You know what I'm saying? I think these tapes are more important as the R. Kelly tapes that are out there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they still can't find those tapes.
No.
They still can't find those R. Kelly tapes of all of them young women on there, which is crazy. So, you know, that's like me when I go to the laundromat and I wash my clothes and then I lose that one sock. Like, where the fuck is that? Like, nobody can find that sock. I go back and I look for that sock. These tapes are disappearing like socks in the laundromat, son.
Well, you know, keep it in line,
right,
you know, with the conspiracy. You know, I don't know if you heard this TikToker. Mm-hmm. Her name is Kylie Marissa Roth. Supposedly,
and she's not related to Chris Rock or Tony Rock.
No, Roth.
Oh, Roth. Okay, I thought you said Rock.
Right. No, Roth. So you know, she's been putting out a lot of information on what's been going on, you know, including with J-Lo.
Right.
With Diddy, of course.
Mm.
And supposedly her friend, you know, she passed away. She said, like, a few days before, she said, not a few days, but maybe a month or so.
Right.
She said, if something happens to me, it was J-Lo, because at the time, she was talking about J-Lo, and I think J-Lo put a cease and desist on her, and, you know, a lot of legal things were going on, and she shut down her page and all of that stuff. So interesting, her friend said that she was on something about Oprah Winfrey, and then she passed away and her family doesn't know how she died.
Right.
So you know, a lot of things are going on regarding these powerful people, and you know, you always have to wonder if people like Wendy Williams and Orlando Brown, you know, who talk crazy, are they acting crazy? I think they hatched a plan and say,
right,
you know, as long as I'm on camera, because, you know, people forget Orlando Brown, right?
Right.
You know, he's an actor. Right. And I think,
can I tell you a story? I met Orlando Brown when he was a young dude. This is when he was still on Family Matters. And this is when I was working at a department store. I was working at Macy's for the holidays, and Orlando Brown happened to be there. And I was like, I was like the little kid from Family Matters. I was like, what's up? And he had such a great smile and gave me a five and a pound. It was like, keep doing your thing. And I was like,
adorable,
I don't
want
to do my thing out here, son.
Yeah, adorable, and then I, young man. And
now to see him 360, to see him talk about how, you know, he loves to give the bop and all that, you know what I'm saying?
The squish squash.
And say vagina. But give me some of that vagina.
Speaking of Family Matters, didn't we hear something?
Yo, son!
Go ahead. Because, I don't know exactly what happened, but can you get on that conspiracy theory?
So first off, I just want to say that a lot of these people that are now doing podcasts, or they're doing their video blogs or their video podcasts, a lot of these dudes are just now putting out information that's just fucking non-credible.
So and this unnecessary.
Dude, yeah. So this dude is, I don't know if he was trying to do this to collect a check or clout chase or just get fame on his name or whatever. Some corny dude. I don't know who he is. I don't care what his name is. He was sitting there with a chick with a dry fucking wig. Anyway, this nigga's talking about how he was at a party and he walked into a room, or he kicked the room door down or whatever, and saw Diddy smashing out Carl Winslow.
Wow.
Whoa. From Family Matters. Now, we already know who Carl Winslow. Carl Winslow, his character on Family Matters was a great father, police officer in Chicago.
He was also in Die Hard, right?
Yeah, he was the police officer in Die Hard.
Right.
Okay. But this is what he's saying, and I don't know, I don't think there's any truth to this. I think this nigga just made it up so that way he could create the biggest shock value of this bullshit podcast to go viral. Listen, when we talk the truth, right? And if we say something, we kind of like, well, we don't know. It might be true. It might not be true. But we just not going to tell you something and assume that, yo, what we're saying is 100% accurate. I don't think that shit is accurate at all.
Let's keep it 100. You know, we both come from the music industry. And we,
of course,
we know a lot of secrets. But we're not...
I'm not putting this podcast in the business of outing people. No.
And telling people's business. A lot of the stories that you hear from us, you know, are already out.
Already,
it's so
right.
old. People know about them already.
But the thing is, it's from our perspective.
Our perspective because we know we were there. Right.
Right. So, you know, if anything else, like, you know, this dude, whoever he is just trying to for shock value. You know, sometimes I think I don't know if him and Fat Joe were in cahoots because they just be making up shit sometimes. But anyway, yeah, that's it. I don't believe that whole story with Carl Winslow and Diddy. But you know, fuck them. And but, I mean,
you know what I want to bring up because now we're getting into all this freaky stuff, freaky files. And, you know,
no freaky on no everything.
Freaky, we're all freaky with Diddy, though. But
no freaky, but all freaky.
All freaky with Diddy.
That's like Kanye West. No disrespect, but all due respect.
But you know what? In 2018. I don't know if you know 2018.
No,
singer,
I didn't know 2018.
The singer Seal,
right,
always said that Oprah Winfrey knew exactly what Harvey Weinstein was doing.
Mm.
He said that in 2018, and I guess he's too powerful.
Was this in an interview or was this through one of his songs?
I guess, you know, people were talking about Oprah, and I guess him and Oprah had something going on, something negative right. happening. And he said that. He said, yo, you know, Oprah knew about this. This is way back in 2018. So, you know, folks, this is the game. This is the entertainment business.
This around the time of the alleged when Oprah was supposed to have her little... her school in Johannesburg opening, but they were kidnapping all the little girls that were registering for school. I don't know.
Allegedly kidnapping, abusing them. No, a lot of this has been reported.
This is the shit that we... I don't, you know.
Right, but we don't want to get flagged by the crime bosses at WKBP. No. So you know,
shout out to Ben. Ben, we apologize for that.
So we got
to
say
we want to redact all of that information. Ben, we want to redact that information.
Yeah, no. So these streets is crazy. The entertainment business
is on fire.
I think the sports. I think the fashion.
Fire.
Yeah, it's on fire. I think it's all connected.
Yeah,
all the same thing.
But let's talk about sports because the WNBA draft just happened a few days ago. Caitlin Clark was the number one draft pick, and for some reason, her contract was such the biggest thing or the biggest draw that everyone focused on, and flooded Instagram and social media about the WNBA's contract for women's basketball. It took a white basketball player, minus all of the better players before her, to actually focus in on what the WNBA are providing these players for their four-year rookie contracts. Which is mind-boggling.
It is.
Because these contracts have been out since the conception of the league. It's there. We know how much these players were getting. But no one ever said anything.
For decades.
Right. And now, Caitlin Clark, you know, all of a sudden, she's the great white hope, is going to change the landscape of basketball. There are many white basketball players that are way better than Caitlin Clark, that has more star power than Caitlin Clark, that has more, and I want to say a lot of these players are very, very humble than Caitlin Clark. Like, of course, if you want to go down the line, you know, there are players, and I could give a couple of players, you know what I'm saying? Like, Becky Hammon. No one said anything when Becky Hammon, no one was looking at her contract and saying, oh my goodness, these players are getting, you know, shitty contracts. It just took this one play. And I'm confused as to why, because maybe she got, maybe her whole career, she was getting dominated by these, you know, these beautiful black ball players fucking dominating her, fucking exposing her, right? And to save grace and just, like, you, I don't know. This shit is, and me being a former WNBA agent, like, I repped a lot of players back in the day. You know, I mean, I know what the contract structures look like. I know what the pay scale looks like. You know, I've always advocated for, you know, these women to get more money than what they're getting. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, it all comes down to the amount of, you know, marketing, ticket sales, sponsorship. You know what I mean? It's a lot that goes behind it, like your target audience. You know, there are a lot of it. You know, I think the WNBA spends more time giving out free tickets than they do actually marketing these players. Mm-hmm. You know, and these contracts are standard, right? Yes, I think there should be, and I've always said it, that these players should get well above, you know, I think the starting salary should be at least $500,000, right?
At least.
Because the minimum contract salary for an NBA player is about $1 million, right? Is about $1 million. Same thing with an NFL player. It's about almost $1 million just for the standard minimum contract. These players deserve more money than what they are getting right now. I believe that. This league has been around for almost 30, it'll be almost 30 years in the next couple of years, right? The league started, I think, in 96. I'm going to say this league started in 96, maybe earlier. They've almost been in existence for 30 years, and yet these players are still getting shitty money. And it took this one player to expose all of that, but the shit has been out for long. You know what I mean? And I'm totally upset that Nike is about to give her $20 million, where, you know, former first round players should have gotten well over the amount of money. Like, I remember a player receiving a $20,000 contract that she was a first round pick. How are you a first round pick and you only get $20,000, and then they flood you with sneakers and you get so hype because you just want sneakers?
Right.
Women, we have to change the landscape. You are the business. You are the brand. Without you, the WNBA does not exist. You understand what I'm saying? You guys can go anywhere and make money and do whatever it is that you need to do in order to put yourself out there. You guys can create a league. You guys can do all of these things. You are the brand. Without you, the league ain't shit. You know what I'm saying? And I think it takes the Players Association to actually step up and say, yo, we need to renegotiate. You know what I mean? I think ESPN and Channel 7 or all of these other, there's so many streaming platforms, needs to do a better job of providing more money and more outlets for these games to be viewed and exposed. It's a shame that, you know, this game, you know, there's a lot of better, you know, and look at the players that have since left the league, are coaching college, are coaching in the NBA, are coaching, you know, are doing a lot of great things, and yet they still are fucking underexposed, which is crazy. You're underexposed. And I don't know why it takes this one player to fucking expose all of that. This shit is bullshit. You know what I mean? There are a lot of players that's out there that's been doing things, that have been doing more things than what this player. And I don't know what she's gonna do. She may not last in the league for so long. You know what I mean? She may go in the league and fucking get exposed by all of these other players. You know what I mean? And it's just like, oh shit, we thought she was like that one. We don't know. But I'm just saying, it shouldn't take this one player to actually expose, you know, what these salaries and what these contracts. I think I ran my mouth a little bit too much. And this dude here is just sitting here and letting me run my mouth and not really saying anything or interjecting.
You're the specialist when it comes to the WNBA. You know, we've spoken about this topic many times. Right. I think it's outrageous that these female athletes do not get the resources that they need. They are athletes just like the men, and they should definitely get $500,000.
They just need
the
more.
The minimum
contract.
And the question and I want... wait a minute. The one question I did want to ask you is that I know that Caitlin went number one. Angel Reese?
She went, I think. Top 10.
And I wanted to ask you, because I always thought that Angel Reese was going to go number one because she won a championship, right?
Angel Reese won a championship last year with LSU.
Right. Am I wrong? Is she not top five?
Then again, you have to look at, you know, what team has the number one pick. Right? Mm-hmm. What team has the number one pick? And it was Indiana Fever. Now,
Saying that Caitlin Clark is not a good player.
But the thing is, you look at it and it's like...
Oh, you have to go with what you need, right?
I mean, that, but then again, it's, you know, you look at it as she's a player that's very marketable right now.
Right.
Even though she lost, she's still getting... tons of media coverage.
Interesting.
You know, in the white opinion, she is that player, right? And what a team is going to look for is, all right, if I bring this player in, whether it's Angel Reese or whether it's Caitlin Clark, am I going to be able to fill the seats and sell tickets?
Got it. Well, right? You know, that makes sense.
And you need a player that's going to maximize all of that. Now, is Angel Reese a better player than Caitlin Clark? In my opinion, yes.
Oh, she is. Okay.
I believe so.
Okay. No, I wanted to ask you because you specialize in this.
But the thing is, if you look at Caitlin Clark was exposed last year. Right. They exposed her, right?
Yeah.
They exposed her, South Carolina exposed her again, right? This is what I'm saying. She has not won a championship.
She
had a great team that could have won it, but she couldn't get over because they knew her number and they got her. You study those tapes,
you figure this out.
Right.
Great players.
And that's what LSU had when they beat them, and that's what South Carolina had.
So I want to move.
Let me go back to I went off the topic. So let me go back. The reason why I'm trying to make the point.
Go ahead.
Shit. So anyway, what I was saying was Indiana had the first pick, right? Now does Indiana is going to sit there and look at all of the players, the top 10 players or the top 5 players, and look. Are these players going to fit what we're trying to do as far as our marketing and our playing, whatever, whatever? They look at Angel Reese and be like, she's not that player. Of course, Caitlin Clark makes total sense. That's the reason why they drafted her.
That makes sense. So now I want to move it over to the male side. I think the male Olympic teams were chosen, right? And was Kyrie Irving not chosen as part of the Olympic team?
Of course he wasn't.
Why is Kyrie Irving the better point guard than every single point guard? Why is Kyrie Irving not selected because of what happened when he promoted the Hebrews to Negroes?
Yeah, he's still feeling heat behind all
really?
Of that. Yeah.
Okay.
He's still feeling heat behind all of that. And I think it's bullshit. You know, of course, you know, they're gonna look at it and the committee's gonna look at it and be like, we need players that's gonna represent, you know, the United States. You know, right. And they're going to, you know, like I said, this, you know, it's just like getting a job. You're going to go through the background checks. You're going to go through all that. They're going to look at all that. They're going to look at your past shit. They're not going to look at the shit that you're doing right now.
Right.
They're just going to continue to look at the shit that you've done in the past. And if it's that one stain that tarnished your career, they're going to focus on that sit stain. And that's what they're going to focus on.
And obviously, you know, the reporters over there in the Olympics are going to ask him questions. So he's like a wild card.
He's the better guard.
He's the
best guard in the league right now. I mean, you know, what the committee should do is just get your man, Jonte, whatever his name is, whatever this dude is, this
gunslinger.
Nigga, yeah, no, not even the gunslinger. This dude that just went ahead, and this dude was sport betting on his whole NBA career.
What was his name?
Shit.
He played for the Raptors.
He played for the Raptors. His brother plays in the league as well. Anyway, he's a clown. I'm just mad that he betted, and this dude was making his contract. His minimum contract was $2.5 million, and this nigga lost his whole career. He betted on his whole career for $21,000. He ended his career for $21,000. Guys, do the math behind that. Do the math. You're making $2.5 million for the season, but you kill your career for $21,000. This is the reason why I'm like, yo, people, when people steal from their job or they do things and you steal for this little bit amount of money, I'm like, dude, does that even, like, sometimes you got to sit back and be like, yo, does that even make sense? Does that make sense? That shit didn't make, like, dude, you just killed your career. They banned you for life, son. They banned you for life.
It's crazy. It's crazy in these shoes. Well, you know, I don't know if you want to move on to other topics, but you know, I want to give a shout-out to 50 Cent, because 50 Cent opened up a 950-square-feet film studio, G-Unit Studios, down in Louisiana, right?
I believe so.
And it looks fantastic. I think it's like the second biggest black film studio.
Right.
So
next to Tyler Perry?
I guess next to Tyler Perry. So congratulations to 50 Cent. That is phenomenal. And we expect nothing but success for you.
Can I ask you a question? Sure. Like, how do you feel about this whole Drake, Kendrick Lamar, and J. Cole beef? Like, somebody did the whole stats behind all of that to show, like, how many albums they sold, how many singles they've put out, how many Grammys they were, like, they were matching them side by side. And I think at the end of the day, and I hate using that term, but at the end of the day, I am a big J. Cole fan. And then it's Drake. And then right. It's Kendrick Lamar. I don't know why. That's just how I feel. Yeah. A lot of people dislike Drake because he's more on the, you know, the R&B singing side. And, you know, Kendrick had two dope albums that I fucking love. But J. Cole had four albums that I was like, yo, four or five albums. I was like, nigga, these shits was like, and I still could listen to those shits to this day. And just,
yeah.
You know, same thing with Drake. Drake has a bunch of albums. Of I'm like, yo, I could listen to those.
J. Cole is J. Cole. I mean, you know, but he gracefully bowed out of this battle, right? Like, he's out of it already.
Who, J. Cole? Yeah, he did his thing, and then he just...
you know, he said what he said, and then he bowed out.
But now Rick Ross and Drake are going back and forth.
That's more funny and Instagram viral than anything else. But I guess people are calling into question, you know, the Drake's push-ups. You know, he called out that, you know, Kendrick is not really the prolific lyricist that he claims to be. And you know, they posted the stats real quick. You know, Drake fans, you know, they posted those facts that a lot of the songs that Kendrick is known for, you know, he's not the writer. He's not the writer
for. But then they saying that Drake is not the writer.
Well, you know, you have to look
at
the
written
bites.
So who is the writer?
So the written bites tell it all. Like on Humble, you know, he has a lot of, like, A. Hogan, Micah Williams, Anthony Triffitt. You know, there's a lot
of
writers.
Now, when you look at the writers, when you say writers, these writers can be producers because they can make the music and then they write the hook. Whatever the hook is, right? They could be a writer on the hook. Now, are they
writers,
living? Yeah, but that's for a hook. You're not writing a verse. If I sit there and I'm penning a verse and they come up with the hook, that's something totally different.
Well, let me give you an example. There's a song, it's called Sing About Me, I'm Dying of Thirst, you know, written by Alan Bergman, Marilyn Bergman, Dee Hutchins, G. Stevenson, Kendrick Lamar, and Quincy Jones. I mean, people have to be writing verses to have that many people listed underwritten. You know?
So you're telling me Quincy Jones is out there writing bars now? He's adding lyrics and shit. He's spitting lyrics.
Well, I, you know,
let me know.
Well, you know, you can only go by.
Let me know.
well, I'm letting you know it's under his listing under written by.
Yeah, but what are they doing? Quincy Jones, we know Quincy Jones is not a rapper. He's not going to pen lyrics. He writes music.
He's a producer. Right. He's a writer of music. And so we know what that is. And perhaps he writes, you know, who knows? You know, it's not, you're acting like Quincy Jones is some slouch. Quincy Jones is huge.
They're not saying that. But you're listing Quincy Jones, so automatically we already know Quincy Jones is a producer. Quincy Jones probably created all of this. Whatever that song is, I don't know what that song is.
Okay, so
you have to give me a song that I know and I can be like, okay,
do you know the song Love?
How does it go?
Okay, let's go to back.
Which album was that on?
Let's go back to Humble. You know Humble? You know that song?
But what album was that?
I don't know, but...
Oh, Be Humble. Slow down.
Right.
Be Humble. Okay, yeah, okay.
So written by A. Hogan, right. Michael L. Williams,
right.
Anthony Tiffett, and Kendrick Lamar. So you have to say, okay, all of those people are not just writing hooks, you know, I think...
They're all producers. Those are producers.
No, it's written by... And Kendrick is, you know, it says performed by Kendrick and written by these people. So they're very specific in who they list under written by and by producer. So I found that interesting. You know, it's not going to take anything away from Kendrick. You know, Kendrick is Kendrick to me. He's amazing and he'll always be amazing. But I'm just saying Drake fans are getting at, you know, Kendrick fans with data. And I find that interesting because I think Push Up, did you listen to Drake's diss against Kendrick?
Yeah, I heard it.
Did you like it?
No.
Oh, you didn't like it. Okay. Why didn't you like it?
It was trash.
Okay.
I think he spit better bars and did better when he battled Meek Mills.
Okay.
And then, of course, his verse to get at Pusha T was trash too, so I don't think it was really hitting that hard.
Mm.
But like I said, then you have to go back. We have to really go back and look at that because, you know, like I said, they're producers. Now, if we want to get technical and we start looking at the splits and looking at the publishing and all of that, you know, that's how, you know, if you're a writer, you probably get more publishing as a writer than you do as a producer. You see what I'm saying? So these are things we have to look in and we have to factor that. People can't just say, oh yeah, he's a writer, so he wrote his whole verse. We don't know. But as people in the industry, we already know what that means, right? You get more publishing and you get more credit for writing,
right,
and all that. So that's what I'm talking about.
Ooh, so, okay.
You see what I'm saying? So that's what I'm looking at.
Yeah, no, I just find all, you know, I could...
No, I find all that interesting.
I could care less either way. You know, I like all of them, so all of this means nothing to me.
I just had to do you for a second.
all of this, okay. All of this means nothing to me. But you know, I just find it interesting when the fans pull up data. Yeah, just like the Swifties, they're the Drakeys. I guess they know the real deal and they're getting at the.
Nigga, I'm tired of all these niggas with their little crews.
Their little crews.
Oh my goodness, Swifties and the Drakeys.
You have your little crew too. They're called the Wavies.
But yeah, but I don't want. Yeah, I don't even.
And they were at your show. So Wavy had a wonderful show at the Stress Factory a couple of weeks ago, and he did absolutely wonderful. And he got a couple of waves.
Wonderful.
It was wonderful.
You sound like a bitch.
Yeah, shut up, Ope. So it was wonderful, and he obtained like a few wavies that started.
It was a dope show. Yeah, shout out to Tone because Tone was out there. That's Tony right. Rock was out there.
Absolutely.
Stress Factory did 5 shows. Tony will be out here again this weekend for City Winery.
Yeah, the City Winery.
Yeah, he'll be out here at City Winery, April 27th. It was a dope show. Went out there to support my dude. And, you know, he was able to bless me with some time to get on stage and do what I had to do. And, you know, and I try to show out. I try to do what I had to do.
And you did. You did a wonderful job.
There were really
you got really big laughs. Really big
laughs. I tried to. You know what I mean? I think I'm, you know, I'm trying to put shit together and trying to make it happen, mm-hmm. son. And I think I'm getting it. But of course, there's always still room to grow and learn. And of course, I sit back and I watch the Master, the Jedi, and watch him go to work. And that shit is just so fucking amazing when this nigga could just take, you know, just shit out of air and just turn it into a 15 to 20 minute bit, which is fucking incredible to me, yo. it's just amazing. Look, I'm just a loss for words right now. Like, and if you can see my face right now, I got this blank face, and I'm just staring into space, just looking and imagining, like, God damn.
And like, I also want to give a shout out to Jordan Rock. Rock and Matt Hoffa.
They
were on the podcast, and it came out great as well, and you should look out for that. That one's coming out soon, probably next week.
Yeah, shout out to Matt Hoffa, Gat Murda. That was a dope show. Tone did his thing, and that's gonna be a dope episode when that pops up. What's the name of his show? Is My Expert Opinion with Matt Hoffa.
Right.
Yeah, that's a dope. Y'all should tap into that.
Yeah.
My Expert Opinion. Tap into that. Also tap into Live at the Green Room with Tony Rock, Trey Elliott, Joe Fox. And of course, you better tap into the motherfucking ignorant know-it-alls with your boy Wavy McGuire, the Brooklyn Basquiat. You know what? I'm tired, and I know it's almost about that time for us to go. I wanted to stretch out and just talk about a couple of more things, but I think it's gonna take us over the top, and I think this is a topic that we should bring up next week because I definitely wanted to get into some more. Some more albums that are turning 30. Mm-hmm. I wanted to get into a couple of lyrics from some dope ass MCs and kind of dissect them a little bit and talk about it. Maybe talk a little bit more about sports. But I think what we should do is for next week when we come back. Next week, we could definitely look into the whole writing and just have a portion where we could talk about what the writing and the publishing and all that, just to break it down, because a lot of people are fucking clueless to how this music industry works. And you know, you get caught up with the, you know, with the route, he did this, and not really understand like what the mechanical royalties are versus what a royalty is, what points are, splits, all that shit. So, you know, I definitely want to bring that up so we could talk about that, so people now are familiar and, you know, familiarize themselves with all of that shit and understand like how this shit works, you know. And then it kind of could tie in to the current battle that's going on with these dudes to really explain, because I mean, you know, it's just like that battle that I had when the dude was like, yo, Joel Santana, that nigga was like triple quadruple platinum. And I was like, nigga, that nigga first album only sold like 250,000, but the label shipped 500,000. You see what I'm saying? So shipping 500,000 versus selling 200,000 are totally two different numbers. You know what I'm saying? In that number, you sold 250,000, but the label already shipped you gold, so they're gonna consider you gold. You see what I'm saying? But you're not really gold until you're certified with the RIAA, right? Mm-hmm. This is the recording.
RIAA.
Yeah, there you go. See, I still know my music shit, y'all. But when we get out of here, what's your final thoughts before we get out of here? Because I see you about to, you know, you can't spark up in the studio, son. But I just see you got the cigar out. You about to get litty.
I'm about to spark up, you know, because this weekend we're on fire. New York City's on fire right now.
Literally on fire.
Literally on fire, as we said at the beginning of the show, and it's time for a nice cigar, and I'm gonna smoke my new world. So it's about
that
time.
Yo, what do white people really smell like when they burn it? Like, I wish I was there so I could smell and be like, God damn, this shit stinks.
Oh, man. we wish him a speedy recovery if he survives.
Oh, my goodness. Are you really wishing some... I don't know. Yeah. You know, I mean... You know, it's
mental illness here.
Real mental illness, son. That's real mental. My final thought is, like, please, let's get ourselves... If we're going through a rough patch in life, or we're just going through a rough patch... In this particular time, space, and at the moment, like, really pick up the phone, call your boys, call whoever, call somebody that's gonna listen, because I know pretty much I'm gonna pick up the phone, I'm gonna call this nigga Lex, and then he'll probably tell me, like, nigga, I'm doing something, I can't talk to you right now. And then I'm going to end up burning myself up.
That would never happen.
No, but I'm just saying, like, pick up, contact somebody. Yeah, yeah. Or if you know a loved one,
always ask for help. You know,
contact a loved one, check on somebody, make sure they're good.
Don't let your pride get you. Don't let your ego get you. Always
please
ask for help
don't.
If you need it.
Yeah, please don't. You know what I mean? And check on your peoples, check on your boys, check on your family, even if you don't like them. You know, check on them, make sure everybody is good. And on that note, before we get out of here, please tune in next week from 12 to 1 on 92.6 The Spot. If you missed this show, if you're missing this show and you hear it and you just catch the tail end of it, the show will actually be posted the very next day on all your social platforms, Spotify, iTunes, Google Play. What else are we on?
We're on YouTube as well.
What else are we? We on everything.
I mean, everything.
I guess if you type it in on Google, boom, it'll just pop up. And your boys is there. You just gonna see us.
Just make sure you press the like button, subscribe.
Spread the word.
Spread the word.
Spread the word.
And of course, if you have topics that you want us to speak about, you know, you can always email us as well.
Yes, and email us at theignorantknowitalls@gmail.com, or you can hit us on IG. At the Ignorant Know-It-Alls, that's where we are. We're working on the Twitter page because we definitely want to start posting shit up on the Twitter page. Yep. But yo, again, next week, same time, same channel, 92.6 The Spot, 12 to 1. I'm your boy, Wavy McGuire, a.k.a. the Ignorant Know-It-All, a.k.a. the Egyptian Magician. I have an aggressive beard and I'm chilling with my man.
It's the Brooklyn Basquiat, and we'll see you next time on the Ignorant Know-It-Alls.
Yo, check it out. We out of here. Peace.